Liam's not here today, so I'm going to have to do the... just put my video on. Is that all right? So you can clip that to you.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 35 in the New International Version. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, just as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own heart, your own soul, too.
Reading we normally read at Christmas, but we'll get to it, don't worry, today. You know, it was a little while ago now, I started to run, you know, as in leisure, as in run. I still blame Mildred, it was to do with us entering the 10K at Manchester's to support Tear Fund. I can remember the first time that I thought, because I hadn't run for years, and we decided, or God prompted myself and others joined in, to run the 10K for this charity that we were part of, Love Running, and raising money for different charities. But I hadn't run for years. And so I remember the kind of thinking, well, can I still run? You know, I used to run at school. Cross country, I wasn't bad actually, but I hadn't run for years. And so I remember the first time I decided, I got a little bit of kit, you know, where I got my shorts on and stuff like that, and I went to Alexander Park. I thought, I'm going to run round Alexander Park. That's what I did. And I thought, can I run again? You know, can I, you know, is that possible to me? And I got out to Alexander Park and started to run a little bit and stopped, and then ran a little bit and stopped. And it was hard, to be honest with you, because I hadn't, run for a long, long time. So to run again was quite hard. And I knew, obviously, from that point, that I had to build it up. Because I was no way was I ready for the Manchester 10K. I knew that I had to build up my running. And I think the key for that was consistency. I needed to have some consistency in my running to build it up again. And so for a time, I did. It became quite a good habit. I tried to make space to run two or three times a week. And I started to do that. Might not have been for a long time, but I tried to slot it in at different points to try and do a run, to try and build up my running again. And I started to build up stamina as I was started to do that and go out regular. It was a good habit. I started to do it. And to be honest with you, by doing that, because I'd built up stamina, I actually started to enjoy it. I wasn't enjoying it when I first started because I was just knackered. Is that, am I allowed to say that? Is that a word? is that okay, that word? I wasn't good. But when I started to run a bit more consistently, I started to build up the stamina, and actually I started to run with a bit more enjoyment. And not only that, is I used the time of running because I could, because I was enjoying it, because I didn't, I wasn't just constantly trying to, oh my goodness, I was actually a bit more into it. I could use it as to just to chat to God and to process things, and I it was good. I quite enjoyed it for a while. But then, and we did the Manchester 10K and all that, and it was good. And I decided I was going to continue to run. I thought it was good to do. I started to enjoy it. I built up my stamina. I was in a better place to run and use it as a way of processing and things like that as I was running. But what happened is things got in the way, and then I stopped for a while. And, you know, maybe stopped for a few weeks, and, you know, I just didn't get the space in my, you know. And what I did is I kind of let the good habit go, I suppose. And by letting the good habit go, it had an effect. Because the problem is, when I started to run again, it felt like I was starting again. Does that make sense? I kind of, the time had gone, I felt like I was back to that, oh, I'm so tired again, I can't do it. And I started to struggle with it again. I say that because following Jesus in the Bible can be in one or two places compared to like running in a race. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race that's been marked out for us." It's an image in the Bible about being with Jesus, following Jesus, running a race. Another one is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, yeah, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." I believe really though that like being a runner, following Jesus requires consistency. And it's the only way that we're going to get the full benefit of our relationship with Jesus, with our relationship with God, is to have consistency. A bit like when I was consistent as a runner, I started to feel the benefit. I was starting to enjoy it. I could use it. It's the same in our relationship with Jesus. But if we stop start, like I did with my running, then it just becomes hard. It really does. It becomes hard. Just wanted to pick up on our reading, because when I was thinking about this, Simeon is the one that came to mind when I was thinking my thoughts around this whole idea of my title is consistency is key. Luke 2, verse 22 to 24, we are told that Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple because it's time, according to the Jewish law, which goes back to the time of Moses, for purification. This happened for Jewish children about on the 40th day after their birth. Now, as Mary and Joseph come to the temple, we are told, verse 25, we're introduced to a man called Simeon. And we are told that he is a righteous man, that he is a devout man. And we are told that he is waiting for the constellation of Israel. Now, if you're not sure what that means, what he basically is doing, he's waiting for the promised Messiah. We know in the Old Testament, there is this promise of one that will come, the Messiah will come to set the people free. And we are told that he is waiting for the promised Messiah. But not only that, we are told that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not even die. He would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And then we get to these verses. I'm going to read just a little bit of them again. Verses 27b onwards. It says this. When the parents brought in their child Jesus to do to him what was custom by the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have now seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. What a moment that must have been for Simeon. Somehow we're told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he'd seen the Messiah come. And as Mary and Joseph give the baby of Jesus to Simeon, he holds him in his heart. Something in him knows this is it. This is what God told me would happen. This is the Messiah. And I have seen the Messiah. I can now leave in peace. And as I was thinking about that story, I was thinking about these few questions. First one's this. I wonder how many days did Simeon go to the temple without seeing the Messiah? How many times did he just turn up at the temple? Could it be today? Could it be today? And no, it wasn't today. So he went home. How many times did that happen? Was it days? Was it weeks? Was it months? Was it even years? And I just get this sense that it was. I may be wrong. It doesn't tell us exactly in the Bible. But I got this sense that he just consistently turned up at the temple. Could this be the day? Could this be the day that the promise that God had put in me would be revealed, fulfilled? And then another question. What if he hadn't gone to the temple that day? What if he thought, I'll stay in bed today? Or, I've got a few jobs to do, so I can't really go today. Or my friend's not going, so I'm not going. Well, if that would have been the case today, what would have happened? I don't know. And then my last question is, was it worth his consistency? Was it worth it for him? Was it worth his perseverance? Was it worth his faithfulness? To keep going back to the temple, day in, day out, to do his role, waiting. Well, I think when you read the passage, absolutely it was worth it. Absolutely it was worth it. He got to see, not just see, hold the Messiah, Jesus. I reckon that's what he was saying. He says, absolutely, it was worth it, Jesus. It was worth it, God. I can now die in peace. Thank you. But I get the sense that he was consistent, he was faithful, and he persevered to that place. And amen, was it worth it? You know, from my experience of being a Christian for 43 years-ish, I became a Christian when I was one. Sorry. What I want to say this morning is simply this. I believe that consistency is key in the Christian walk or the Christian run. And there's a few areas where I believe this is of particular importance. The first, it's got to be reading your Bible. I think we need to be consistently reading God's word. Yes, sometimes it's hard work. I get that. But the Bible is our spiritual food. And it's important. I think the Bible is as important to our spiritual well-being as Christians as food is to eat to our physical well-being. So I think we need to be consistent in looking at, viewing, studying, reading God's word, the Bible. Because it's vital for our spiritual well-being. So if we're not inputting the Bible into our spiritual well-being, what's it going to do? It's going to make us weaker, isn't it? The second area that I think we need to be consistent as Christians is in prayer. Some of you have heard the saying before, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And the week is spelt W-E-A-K. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. In our relationship with our Heavenly Father, I think we need to have a consistency in our prayer life. We need to regularly be in conversation, sharing, giving thanks, confessing, listening. It helps to keep us in a stronger, more vibrant connection, relationship with our Heavenly God. So prayer has to have a consistency in our Christian walk. Another area is that we need to be consistent in is trying to live our lives in what I would call a Jesus way. To live our lives by his truth and his way. Again, it's not always easy to live in the way that Jesus wants us to live. The Bible actually says it's like walking or running on a narrow path. Of course, it's easier to run on a big, wide road than it is to run on a narrow path. But the Bible tells us the narrow path is the way to life. The big, wide road is the road to destruction. So as Christians, I think we need to have a consistency in trying to run or walk our Christian lives following Jesus in his ways, in his truth. Not the world's ways, not a bit of this and a bit of the world and a bit of Jesus, but the more we can run our way after Jesus, after his truth, after his teachings, after his commands, laws, decrees, whatever you want to call them, then I think that we're going to be more healthier. But we need to be consistent. And then including that, I think we need to be consistently battling sin in our lives. We need to be consistently battling addiction and temptation and weakness. I put something down here, said if you take your eye off the ball, you probably end up getting hit in the face. Makes sense. If we don't have an energy, I'm not saying we're always going to win, because I know, I don't always win over sin. But I've got to have a consistency that I have to battle sin and temptation and my weaknesses in my life if I'm going to run for Jesus in my life. Because if I don't do that, I'm just going to get hurt. And we know it. You'll know it. I see it all the time. I think we need to be consistent in being a witness for Jesus. I talked about this the other week, didn't I? Being a witness for Jesus is part of who we are as Jesus followers, filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, it might not be always easy to be a witness for Jesus, but I do believe the more we do it, the easier it becomes. But I think we have to do it because it's part of our calling that we are a witness to the good news of Jesus in our lives. So we need to have a consistency, a kind of a readiness to be a witness in the world, to share our faith and to in words and in deeds, because that's the calling upon us. And I think we also need to be consistent in fellowship. Again, a saying that I say often to people, I believe that faith is fueled by fellowship. Faith is fueled by fellowship. We are called as God's people to be in community, loving and worshipping and learning and serving and caring and contributing and being and building kingdom together. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about an hour and a half on a Sunday. But we need to have a consistency in our fellowship because that's what we're called to be and do as God's people. You see, as I was preparing this message, I felt I wanted to tackle what I believe is a deception in the church. And I've talked to people about this, and I think this is deceptive. I'm convinced more and more over the years. And the deception simply is this. It's Christians, and they are Christians, who are not consistently doing these things, reading the Bible, praying, trying to live like Jesus, battle sin, being a witness, being in fellowship regular. It's Christians who are not consistently doing these things, but then they say, but my faith is still strong. Ah, so many times I've heard that. I'll talk to Christians and they'll say, and they're not doing some of these things, but they'll say, yeah, but my faith's still strong. How do I know this is not totally true? I'll tell you how. Because being a Christian is following Jesus, isn't it? And it's following his word, isn't it? Is that a not fair definition of being a Christian, or one definition? So the question is, if you're not aiming to consistently do those things, as a Christian, we are disobeying who we say we follow. There is a contradiction in our faith. It's like saying, I love my wife, but I don't do anything that she asks. She's not here today, so she can't. She's preaching elsewhere in a tearful talk. She might say, well, you need to listen to your words on that one a little bit clearer. But you see, as Christians, if we're not consistently trying to read God's word, the Bible, if we're not consistently trying to pray, if we're not consistently trying to get rid of grudges and unforgiveness in our lives, if we're not, as Christians, constantly trying to battle sin in our lives, if as Christians we have no desire, really, to share our faith with other people, even if we say, but my faith is still okay, and perhaps, you know, in some ways it is okay, but it's definitely not where God is calling us on to be. And it's a deception. It's a deception in the church. People say, well, I don't need to read my Bible, but I'm still a good Christian. Well, yeah, well, I don't know what a good Christian is. I'm still a Christian. Yeah, you can still be a Christian. But if you're a Christian and you follow Jesus, Jesus asks you to read his word, to invest in your spiritual well-being. So how can you say I'm a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and then ignore what he's saying? Do you see what I'm saying there? And I think the most obvious area that I find this is being in regular community, being in regular fellowship and worship with God's people. See, God's word tells us not to neglect, or another way of putting it is to have a consistency in meeting together. So if we are not regular, consistently doing this, then we are going against who we say that we belong to. And we become deceived. Consistency is key. Over the years I find this. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to fulfill all the plans and purposes and who you are, then there needs to be a consistency in our faith. It's vital. Don't be deceived. And there were other Bible people, as well as Simeon, that we could have used as examples today when we're looking at consistency. We could have looked at Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Do you remember those guys? Those guys remained consistent. Even under times of extreme pressure and changes of circumstance, they remained true and faithful to the things that they knew was part of who they were as followers of the one true living God. Going back to the start, to my running illustration, you know, what I said was it worked best when I was consistent, when it became a good habit for me. Why? Because it built up stamina and I just ended up getting more from it. It was simple. As I started to become a bit stronger, a little bit, I wasn't panting all the time, I wasn't struggling with it. It wasn't always easy, but it certainly became easier. I started to enjoy the running experience. I started to use the time, like I said before. For Christians, I believe the more good habits and the more consistent we can be with them, it will build up our strength in our walk of the Christian life. And I believe we'll become more fulfilled in our faith and our God relationship. I honestly do that. I mean, it's a kind of an easy answer, but it's the answer that sometimes we forget. People say, my faith's not where it should be. I say, well, how much time do you spend with the Bible or reading or praying to God? Well, not a lot. Well, maybe you need to do a bit more. Then you build up your relationship with God a bit more. How much time are you in fellowship? Well, I sometimes pop in once every month to church on a Sunday. Well, Jesus says, don't neglect up meeting regularly and consistently in fellowship. So maybe you need to address that somewhere. It depends where you want at your relationship with Jesus in the end. The Bible talks a lot to us about perseverance, which perhaps can be another word for consistency. And then there were reasons why I stopped running, because I did. I was running, I was enjoying it, I carried on, stamina was good, started to use the time, but I stopped running. And there were a number of reasons at the time that I stopped running. And there are many reasons that Christians stop being consistent in their important activities of their faith. Discouragement comes along. Distraction comes along. Disunity. Danger. Couldn't think of any more words beginning with D. There will be some. But things will come along, like for me, that stop me running. There'll be things that come along that will stop you or try and stop you from doing the good habits of the consistency of the things that we're meant to do as followers of Jesus. You know, Christian okey-cokey does not really work. When people do that Christian okey-cokey thing, one leg in, one leg out, a bit of me in and a bit of me out, and they do that on a regular basis, what happens to, I find, in the end is they end up becoming more out than in. And so their faith is less alive, it's less effective. Because they're playing this Christian okey-cokey thing, and sometimes they're more in and sometimes they're more out. And they end up becoming more out than in, I find, in the end. And sadly, actually, many more people over time just end up not being in at all. They just drop away. Because they've played this okey-cokey. They've not been consistent. They've, a bit like me with the running, I've just stopped and I think, oh, I'll get going again, don't worry, give me another week and I'll be right. And I've just let that drag to 2 weeks and to 3 weeks. And in the end, I don't run anymore. I have to go to walking football now because I can't run. You can't play Christian okey-cokey. It's no good for you. You know, I Googled consistency in the Christian life, and here's a few things it said about it. It said the first thing is about authenticity. Consistency helps us demonstrate the authenticity of one's faith, showing that belief are not just words, but they are actively shaping one's life. That's what consistency does. It shows that we're authentic about our faith. It shows that it's at the focus of where it needs to be. If we're just dropping in church once every month, well, what is that saying to us about our faith? We're saying, Jesus, I don't need to do what you tell me to do. But Jesus says, no, you need to be consistent in fellowship. Yeah, but my faith's strong. Well, how can it be strong if you're doing what... No, I don't get it. Google told me it's about being a witness. A consistent life can be a powerful witness to others, demonstrating the transformative power of faith. That's what being consistent does. Consistency in the Christian life helps growth. Consistency is a spiritual practice like prayer. Consistency in spiritual practices like prayer, Bible study, and fellowship with other believers fosters growth and maturity in the Christian life. That's what I want. I want to be mature in my faith, grow in my faith. So I need to be consistent. And consistency brings reward. Consistent effort in good works, fueled by faith, is a promise of a reward from God. It brings its rewards. You know, I often probably a quote that I heard. It says this. It says, "I'm consistently inconsistent." Maybe most of us might be able to say that a little bit. Because I'm like often preachers. I don't know whether I'm not saying I've got this all sorted. So I'm now telling you what I'm saying is I need to sort some of this as well, because I'm constantly inconsistent with some of this stuff. But each of us have to take our own responsibility. Not my responsibility. Yes, I want to encourage you. I don't want to have a go at you, and I pray that the Holy Spirit might speak into you. But in the end, it's personal responsibility. We're all adults in this room. Are we taking that adult responsibility within our faith to be consistent in who we say that we are and that we follow? I hope so. And we're going to pray that God might just speak into that a little bit. Not to have a go at us, but to sometimes nudge us in the right direction. Maybe some of us need to sit with God today and say, okay, God, maybe I need to look at something here. And it might not be all of them at once. The chances are he'll say, let's just have a look at this area. Because he works with us slowly, kindly. Because he wants the best for us. He wants us to have the fullness of our relationship with him. And that's why he says, like, okay, well, let's look at the things that we need to do to make sure that our relationship is strong, that we're living for him in the world, that we're receiving all that he has for us. And he takes us back to some of these things and says, let's not play around. Let's not do okey-cokeys. Nice to have some dancing today, but let's be consistent. I find it's key. In the Christian walk, I really do. We're going to sing. I picked the song, and before we pray, and we sang slightly less at the beginning, so we're going to have a slightly more. After I've prayed, we're going to sing a little bit more. We're going to have a little bit more worship together. I want to do a bit more worship towards the end, just to give God space to do what He wants to do. But I picked the song "All for Jesus" because in the end, I want to sing "All for Jesus." It's easy for me to sing "All for Jesus." It's not always easy for me to put that into practice, but that has got to be my aim as a Christian, all for Jesus. And I hope in some ways it's yours too. Let's stand and worship. Please be seated. You know, this is a journey. This is a journey, and we have to work it out. And we have to work it out with God. And, you know, circumstances do, you know, there were reasons I couldn't run at times, and that's fine. I think God understands all that. He works with me. But it's where my desire is. If I want to follow Jesus, if I'm a Christian, that I have to work through, and that's what fuels me. So it's not about having a go, it's about having a conversation with God. You know, as we were singing there, you know, God drops silly things into your head. And because you know I'm a passionate Leeds fan, though I never really go. And I don't watch them on the telly when I can, and stuff like that. But I tell you what, I was thinking, I want to be like Stefan is as an Oldham fan. Do you know why? Because, it's madness, really. But, you know, Oldham Athletic, and they've done really well, haven't they, this season? And I can't, you know, of course you go and support your team like Stefan does. And I know there's others here. But, you know, I found out the other day that Stefan, right, get this, right, he's going to go watch Oldham Athletic play a pre-season friendly at Dundee. What is that all about? Really? Not even a proper match. It's a pre-season friendly, Dundee. Well, Stefan's an Oldham fan. And he's going to go. Gonna go. It's like, is that right, Stefan? He's open to. Now I'm not saying we all have to go to. I'm not talking about that. but in some ways, I want that passion about Jesus that says, you know, I'm going to go. Whatever it takes. I'm going to pay the cost. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to work it out. I'm not there, but I'm going to try and get there. It'd be great, wouldn't it? That we have that sort of stupid desire. I'm going to be consistently supporting Jesus or supporting my faith because it's at the heart of who I am. And I'm going to try and work that out. I'm not always get it right, but I'm going to try and work it out. All for Jesus. Not just bits, parts, okie cokie-ing. I don't just want to sing a song. I want to try and go for it. Win, lose, and I'll try my best. And I'm preaching to myself. Don't, honestly, really am. I have not cracked all these areas. I'm not consistent in all these areas. But if I'm a follower of Jesus, and that's who I say I am, like Stefan says, I'm a follower of Latix, you've got to go. You've got to do the things that you're going to do. And I pray that God will just speak into us. We're going to go into some worship. And then just God will just speak. He's gentle. He's a gentleman. He's kind. He makes us feel slightly uncomfortable at times. That's because he just sometimes wants to lead us somewhere that is the best for us. You know? So let's just take a moment, bow our heads again in prayer. Oh God, I just pray for this message today. And I apologize, God, if I say anything that is inappropriate or is about me, not about your word. I do pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us as individuals. You love us. We talked about your grace right at the beginning. And all you want for us is the best. And then we're all in different stages in our relationship with you. I recognize that. But I pray that you put in all of us a heart to grow in our relationship with you, to move deeper in our relationship with you. And in that, you might want us to sort of look at something here in our lives that will help us to do that. It might be that we just start to read our Bible, put some time aside to pray. It might be that we have to think about how we follow you and how sometimes we've not following you, your ways, but we're kind of doing our own way. We've not battled sin. We've just allowed it to just take hold and we've just carried on. We've not taken that commission to be a witness in this world for you. We've not taken that sense of being in God's people, contributing and worshipping together as something that needs to continually fuel our faith. Just speak to us, we pray, that we might follow Jesus in all that we are, all that we do, all that we say. Work with us in that journey, I pray. But most of all, give people a heart to take that journey with you, bit by bit. It's a narrow road. It's not always an easy road. But it is the road that leads to life. Take us on the road, Lord, that leads to life. Speak to us, we pray, as we continue just to worship your name, lift you up, and invite your Holy Spirit to minister to us. Amen. Let's just continue to worship.